Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you could all find your seats, we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to start this Sunday morning off in song number 404, When the Battle's Over. Song 404, When the Battle's Over. Song 404, let's sing it out on the first.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. Yes, we shall wear a crown. And when the battle's over,
for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Steadfast Baptist Church. Thank you for the Mighty Men's Retreat and the great fun that we had. Our God, we ask that you bless Pastor Shelley as he preaches this morning. Bless this service so we can all walk away better Christians for your honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, next up we have song number 158. 158. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. Song number 158.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace, my gracious Master.
Can make the fountain.
Good morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you didn't already get a bulletin, you can lift up your hand nice and high. We have our Bible memory passage. We only have a couple verses left for Psalm 59, but anybody that can quote the entire chapter can receive a prize, as well as the children 18 and under. They can quote each verse each week and get a prize on our Wednesday night, an ice cream. On the inside, we have our service and soul winning times. Also, take note of our church stats. Please make sure that you're turning in those numbers to all of your soul winning captains and lieutenants. On the right, we have our list of expecting ladies. Also, some upcoming events. There's a baby shower on the 24th for a couple ladies there. Also, September 1st is going to be the ordination of Brother Salvador Alvarez at Pure Words Baptist Church. And so I'm really looking forward to Pure Words Baptist Church's transition and getting a pastor there that's going to be local and in those services every single week. And so that's going to be very exciting for them. Also, September 8th, Dr. Phil Stringer is going to be guest preaching for us. And he's a very knowledgeable preacher. He's studied a lot on the King James Bible issue. And what I really like about and appreciate about Dr. Stringer is he was not King James only growing up. And in fact, he was taught against the King James Bible. And he studied the issue himself and ended up realizing that, no, actually, the King James Bible is the preserved word of God. And so he changed his mind. He's written many books on that subject as well as other subjects. And so we really appreciate his friendship, and we look forward to coming out here and visiting with us. And so please come to those services and thank Dr. Stringer when he's here. October 4th through the 6th is going to be our Heritage of the Lord Conference, and we're having some other guest preachers. Pastor Bruce Mejia from First Works is going to come and preach for us on that Friday, as well as Pastor Anderson. He's going to also be coming out and preaching for us, and so we're going to have a big preaching event that evening. And we also have our kids' spelling bee that we'll be having in the morning on Saturday. We also have a couple other activities that are scheduled for the weekend. So I'm excited for our Heritage of the Lord Conference this year. And we can do some things for the kiddos. Also down below is the details about that baby shower. It is from 2 to 12. If you would like to get them a gift, they register on Amazon, as well as it is nursing's only preferred for our baby showers. If you are planning attending, it does help us to prepare for the event by RSVP. Please just make sure to do that to Mrs. Milstead. That would be greatly appreciated. Down below, we also have, we had our Mighty Men's competition again this year. And we actually do two styles of events. We do like a singles event, and we do what's called a triad, where it's like a three-man competition. And this year, our triad, we didn't let people pick their own teams. We actually just drew names out of a hat. But I wanted to announce our winners, and I had some prizes for them. Not all of our winners are here this morning, but the ones that are here. So in our singles competition this year, Brother Dylan Oz got second place, and he's up there in Oklahoma City now. But first place was Jorge Villarillo, so there we go. And so our winners get a $100 gift card to Academy, so there you go, all right? Yep. That's what we call the dad store in my family, so they got guns, all kinds of sporting equipment, workout equipment, just everything to help you become the mighty man for the next year, all right? Also, in our triad, the second place team was Brother Sonny, Brother Christian from L.A., and then also Brother John Reed. And so they get a $50 gift card to Academy. So if they want to come on down. And then first in the triad was Brother Oz, Brother Gio, and Jacob Plant. So congratulations to them. So that's a lot of fun. And then Friday night, our evening service with Pastor Menz, we had 43 men come out for that evening service. And the place we were at had built a new chapel area, and it was really nice. And so I hope that everybody appreciated that refresher. We did post those sermons like last night because the internet out there doesn't really work that great, but we did record them, and we re-uploaded a better version. And so if you want to hear those sermons, you can. Some good sermons, and Pastor Menes preached a really great sermon. It's great to have him out there and visiting with us. And so I look forward to next year. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do. We may go back there or may plan a slightly different event, but I'm kind of thinking about announcing our Mighty Men competition events way in advance, so that way people have an opportunity to plan, prepare, and to make it even more, competitive or something. So I'm looking forward to the men's conference again next year. And it was a great blessing to me, because I would love to go to an event like that. And it's like, sometimes you can only have things if you make them. But here's the thing, I can't do it without you guys. And so I really appreciate all the men that came out there and participated. It's a lot of fun. It's a great conference, and I enjoy it every year. Many of the guys also tell me that they really enjoy it. So thank you to those who came out and participated. On the back, we have our prayer list. Please also be in prayer for our church family. And if you have any additional prayer requests, please just email us, or you can fill out a communication card, slip it into our offering plate, and we'd love to add that into our prayer list. That's pretty much all I have as far as announcements. We're going to go ahead and sing our third song for this morning. It's going to be Psalm 149, and it's in our special handout. So it's not in our hymn books. It's actually in these special psalm booklets that we've created. And if you don't have one, you could use a King James Bible, but it does make it easier. Psalm 149.
All right, everybody, let's sing Psalm 149. Sing it out all together on the first.
Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion.
Singing, everybody. While the offering plates are going around, please turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter number 19. 1 Kings chapter number 19.
Thank you.
1 Kings chapter 19, the Bible reads, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake bacon on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose, and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this day and for this opportunity to hear the word of God being preached. I pray that you fill the man of God with your spirit now and enable him to preach the message you've laid on his heart with clarity of mind and with boldness. And help us, Lord, to receive this message. Give us ears to hear and soften hearts in the room so that we may apply this sermon to our lives. We love you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to look back to start here in chapter 19 at verse 4. The Bible says, talking about Elijah, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And, you know, this is kind of a low point for the prophet of Elijah. He's depressed, arguably. He's very upset. He has a grim outlook on the future. And I think for many of us, this can be a situation where We could fall victim of this same mentality pretty easily, especially considering why. The reason why is Elijah has been constantly battling and fighting to just basically stay alive. A lot of persecution against the men of God at this time. Many men of God were in hiding and not really doing the work of the Lord. Elijah felt very isolated. And even though he had just had a great victory and a great battle, as soon as he comes back, he was kind of hoping that the political climate or the government would have changed in his favor. But rather, the government got even worse, and we have Jezebel threatening to take Elijah's life. And I think he's just kind of worn out with the political climate. He's just worn out with the government. He's worn out with society and culture just getting worse and worse. And I feel like that's similar to how many of us could feel today about America. How many of us today in America could just feel like, man, it just seems like the political climate just keeps getting worse, and there's a lot of doom, there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of frustration. Our government just seems to be getting worse and worse, higher taxes and more oppression and more just embracing of just satanic ideologies and pushing all kinds of perverts and freaks onto the rest of us in society. And it could get to a point where maybe even a prophet or a man of God or a Christian could be very depressed about it. Maybe even just like, I don't even care anymore. I just wish, you know, we'd just all be nuked off the planet because it's just so bad. I don't even care if we get invaded. I don't, you know, they just kind of have like this bad idea about America and this bad outlook towards the future. But this chapter gives us some hope. And, you know, the title of my sermon this morning is this, Hope for America. And I got this inspiration and influence from a sermon I heard yesterday. But there is hope for America, and there was hope for Israel, and there was hope for Elijah. And we see in verse 13, it says this, towards the end of the verse, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, verse 14, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. She says, man, just nobody wants to keep the, no one wants to follow the Bible. All the men of God have basically gone. They're persecuting us heavily. What's the point? Verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which have not kissed him. So the Lord is kind of correcting Elijah here and trying to help him to understand that even though you may feel alone, there's still a lot of people that will not compromise and that will not worship the devil and that are going to stay steadfast towards the things of God. And really, I see that God is giving Elijah two main reasons to have hope for the nation of Israel. Number one is the appointment of new leaders. The appointment of new leaders, and specifically steadfast leaders. Leaders that are not going to be wavering, but rather going to be unmovable, and they're going to do great works for the Lord, and they're going to change the culture and change the climate at that time. Specifically, he's going to anoint Elisha, which is one of the greatest men of God to ever exist in the world, and Elijah doesn't know that yet, but Elisha's out there. Not only that, the second thing is it's not just about the leaders, but there's still even 7,000 men that are also steadfast men that are not going to just allow evil to come into their lives and their houses. They refuse to bow the knee. They refuse to accept all the wickedness and all the evil in society. And I believe it's the same today in America, where we can have hope for America because the appointment of new leaders and the fact that we have steadfast men in this country that will not bow the knee to Baal, that will not kiss him, that will not compromise, but rather will stand firm on the word of God no matter how dark it gets. And honestly, I don't know what the future holds, but I believe that the climate that Elijah's in, it's likely and possible that we could go through almost an identical climate. Think about the climate that he's in. Who's really leading the country at this time? It's not so much Ahab, it's Jezebel, isn't it? And is that much different than today, where we have Joe Biden, who's a weak man, who's not really in control, and Kamala is now kind of almost the front runner and really the one kind of leading the charge? And who knows if she may even end up becoming the, quote, president of the United States. And yes, I put that in air quotes because it would not be legitimate. Right. There is no way America would vote for Kamala. Yeah. And to me, just the fact that it's not even possible could show me that God would be really mad at America if Kamala became our president. Yeah. Like, to me, I would wonder, like, at what point would Christians wake up and realize that God is punishing us for having turned away from him and not being Christian anymore, when we literally have a whore at the helm of our government? We have a whore who is obviously a puppet. We have a whore who is bringing in communism into our country as best that she can. And, you know, the Bible makes it clear that women leaders are a curse unto a nation. How can Baptists and all these people get up and keep saying God bless America and think, like, If Kamala became our president, she's really kind of the acting leader of our nation right now anyways, that we're not being cursed of God. Yeah. And look, it's not that I don't want God to bless America. It's not that I don't want God's favor in our country. But at the end of the day, sometimes we have to recognize that we're not in God's favor right now. Yeah. If you think that Kamala Harris being our vice president and Joe Biden being our president is a picture of God's favor and God's blessing in America, you are brainwashed. Yeah. And you don't know what the Bible says, it's obvious that God's upset with America right now. It's obvious that God is giving us bad leaders. But you know, it's not like this is a new thing under the sun. Bad leaders have existed in many forms in history. How about Ahab and Jezebel? Talk about a power couple of evil. I mean, this is like Bill and Hillary Clinton, folks. And who knows if she would ever become president or something. I don't know. God forbid. But can you imagine Hillary Clinton saying, I'm going to slay all the new IFB pastors? I'm going to slay all the fundamental Baptists. I'm going to slay any of the Christians. I mean, that's not even that far removed from where we're actually at. And that's what Elijah was experiencing. But even if that was the climate, I think some people get confused. Even if Kamala becomes our president, even if she brings in communism, even if she tries to attack the Church of God, there is still hope in America. Because we are constantly appointing new steadfast leaders, and there's still 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal, and they won't bow the knee to Baal. Yep. And that's the hope for America. You know, there's so many countries in this world that don't have a lot of hope. How about like North Korea? Where are their newly appointed fundamental Baptist pastors? Where are their 7,000 men that will not bow the knee to Baal? You know, we might look at America as being a kind of a turning bad and getting to a place where it's not as great as it once was, but it still holds the greatest Christians in the world. It still holds some of the best pastors in the world. It still holds 7,000 men that will not bow the knee to Baal. And you know what that tells me? There's hope for America. Go over to Matthew chapter 16. Go to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to look at a few verses here. And you know what the hope for America ultimately is? It's the New Testament church. It's the New Testament church. Now, what is a church? A church is a congregation. And who is leading that congregation? A pastor. And so we see the two most important factors in the hope of a country is, number one, having steadfast leaders, but they need a congregation. They need that 7,000 men that are with them. And it's the New Testament church that gives hope to America. And not just America, yay, the world. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Did you read what the Bible said? The gates of hell are not going to prevail against the church. Kamala Harris will not prevail against the church. Communism will not prevail against the church. The LGBTQP, whatever you want to call it, will not prevail against the church. Amen. God's people are going to be steadfast, and God's people will prevail. God's people will win, and the church will stand. And you know what? The church is going to go until Jesus Christ raptures us up into the clouds, and then we'll still be winning because we'll still be with him. The church will not lose. The church will win. Now, will we have minor battles that we lose? Yes. Will we have casualties? Yes. Will there be martyrs? Absolutely. But you know what? The church will continue. Amen. Hey, you kill one guy and we'll put in another one because we still got 7,000. And the fact that we keep getting new recruits and new leaders gives me hope for this country. Now, some people, you know, get a little bit nervous about how to interpret this verse, but I believe that it's very clear that in verse 18, that Jesus is talking about Peter, and there's obviously the clear metaphor for Jesus Christ himself. Some people kind of only want to pick one. You go to the Catholics, they want to only pick Peter, and then they make him their pope. And then you have some people that get a little nervous about Catholicism, and so they say it's only Jesus here. But I believe it's both. And frankly speaking, it's undeniable that Peter started the church and that Peter was the first leader of the church and that from that church in Jerusalem, we have all the other churches spread out across the world. Even the Apostle Paul comes and submits unto Peter and the church of Jerusalem and asks their opinion. And yes, Peter is the one that basically is the first pillar and the first leader and the first guy to help that church grow and thrive. And he was a rock. Peter was steadfast unto the end, unmovable, and was a willing martyr for the cause of Christ. And we need men like Peter. We need men that are going to be rocks and going to be steadfast. And that's what's going to cause the church to not buckle under the pressures of Satan, buckle under the pressures of evil in this world. And we need steadfast leaders. We need pastors. We need bishops. We need elders that are going to do the work of God. It's not just enough to have one. We need many pastors and bishops and elders all over the world. And of course, we understand that we're built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ. And that's why these men are successful. The reason why Peter's successful is it wasn't a cult of Peter. It was a follower of Jesus Christ. And because he was built upon that ultimate rock of Jesus Christ, he being the chief cornerstone, that's why we're going to be successful. But you know what? We're still stones. We're still lively stones, and we're still also built upon that same foundation. And you know what? We need more rocks. We need more men that are going to be steadfast to change this world and to change this culture. Amen. Notice what it says in verse 19, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Who is Jesus talking to? Jesus isn't saying, "I'm giving the keys to myself, folks." You know who Jesus gave the keys to? He gave the keys to Peter. And you know what? Jesus Christ is giving the keys to you and to me into the kingdom of God. You know what that key is? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hold the key to unlock men's souls and to preach the gospel and to give them true liberty and to give them salvation. And if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. We are the only ones that can unlock the gates of hell and pull souls out, pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, and to save with fear and preach the gospel. And if we don't preach the gospel, if the church stops preaching the gospel, how dark will the world be? Jesus Christ gave the keys to Peter and said, "Hey, you're in charge of this. You've got some power here. You've got some authority here. And you know what? You are keeping people from going to heaven and going to hell here. Because if you preach, you're going to get people going to heaven. And if you stop preaching, well, more people are going to go to hell." The church is the most important institution that we have on this planet. And it was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ himself. And that is what gives hope to people in America, is the person that has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He says, "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Notice the authority even given to Peter, that the decisions he makes, Jesus Christ is going to honor. He's empowering Peter to make decisions. And whatever Peter says within the confines of the Bible and within the confines of Christ's commandments, Jesus honors that authority and respects that authority and empowers Peter to do the work of God. And you know what? I believe the New Testament church has been empowered by Jesus Christ himself to make decisions within the confines of this book. and that they are bound in heaven, and they are also loosed in heaven. Whatever they say goes, and that is the hope that we have for America, is the church and the authority that Jesus Christ has given unto it. Look at chapter 28, just flip over a little bit to the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Verse 18, the Bible says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus Christ is with us right now. And Jesus Christ will be with us until the end of the world. And Jesus Christ still has all power. Kamala Harris is not the most powerful person in this world. The Jews are not the most powerful people in this world. The devil is not the most powerful person in this world. It is Jesus Christ that is the most powerful person in this world. And all authority and all power is stemming from Jesus Christ. He is the one in charge, and he's given us that power and that authority, and he's given it unto the New Testament church, and we are to be the hope of the world. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and it's through the New Testament church that we have this hope. You know what gives me hope for America? Is the new IFB. That gives me hope for America. You know what gives me hope for America? Is people becoming fundamental Baptists. How many in here were not raised a fundamental Baptist? Look at that. I see a lot of people that became a fundamental Baptist. That gives me hope in America. Hey, hard preaching works apparently because somebody changed. Somebody converted. Hey, I can raise my hand on that too because I was raised a non-evangelical is what I call them. Because the non-denominational churches, they're not evangelical at all. They're non-evangelical. You know what gives me hope for America? People that go to church 3 times a week. When I see people on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I see that same person on Wednesday night, that gives me hope for America. You know what gives me hope for America? The people in our church to go out soul winning in our local neighborhood. When we have our soul winning time and people show up, that gives me hope for America. You know what gives me hope for America? When people drive to a small town like Shreveport, Louisiana, and preach the gospel. When we go out into these small areas and these small communities, and you know what the hope for those small communities are? Our church. You know what the hope is for Shreveport, Louisiana? Steadfast Baptist Church. You know what the hope is for Cedar Hill? Steadfast Baptist Church. You know what the hope is for many of the areas of DFW? It's Steadfast Baptist Church. And when I say Steadfast Baptist Church, we're not talking about this building. You know what Steadfast Baptist Church is? It's you. It's me. It's us. And it's not really just us that's special. It's the gospel message that we have. It's the keys that we hold, that gospel light that's special, and that's the real hope. But we are the hope bringers. We're the ones who are bringing in the hope and bringing in the good news and bringing in the light into this dark world. And without light bringers, there is no hope. It's darkness. You know what gives me hope for America is mission trips. You know what the hope is for the Bahamas? Steadfast Baptist Church, next mission trip. Yeah. You know what's the hope for the Bahamas? Is all the kids that we got saved the last time. Yeah. And there was a lot of kids that got saved over there. That was a little leaven that we put over there that I hope turns into a big lump. You know, it doesn't matter what opposition comes our way. The New Testament church is the hope. Go over to Psalm chapter 3. I want to look at a lot of Bible this morning. Psalm chapter 3. You don't understand, Pastor Shelley. If Kamala Harris becomes president, there's no hope for America. Nuts to Kamala Harris. Nuts to the Democrats. I don't care. You think that Republicans aren't that demonic, but they are too. Like, people think like Kamala is so bad for America, but it's just like both are bad for America. It's just one's, and look, I'll be the first to admit, Kamala is the worst option. It's not even really a close second. Like, she's
arguably one of the worst possible candidates we could ever have for president. Okay? But that doesn't mean that second place is like awesome or something. It's just like slightly less bad. And the reality is, neither are a hope for America. There is no hope in our presidential election for America. You say, yeah, but if we get Donald Trump, we have hope in America. No. I don't care who becomes elected. I don't care if you elect Ron Paul. I don't care who you elect. The only hope in America is the New Testament church. That is the only hope. That is the only thing that matters. That is the only thing you should be caring about. That is the only thing you should be giving your time, money, effort, energy, and influence to. And it's the only thing that you should have any confidence in whatsoever. I have zero confidence in our government. I have zero confidence in our elections. I have zero confidence in the people that are running for elected office. You know what I have confidence in? This King James Bible is the Word of God. That's what I have confidence in. And you know what? I'm not going to go to bed tonight thinking like, well, as long as we get the right president, then I'll be safe. No. Hey, because I went to the house of God and I praised God and I pray at night, that's how I'm going to feel safe tonight. What does it say in Psalm 3, verse 1? Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. That's Hunter Biden, by the way. Yeah. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. God likes to get credit for salvation. And I just want to ask you out there, and look, I don't hate Donald Trump or anything like that. But I just want you to think about what I'm about to say really hard, okay? If Donald Trump became our president and he rescued America, who would get the glory for that? I know. I'm the greatest president that's ever lived. You should see all the things I've accomplished. The glory would not go to the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. And you know it and I know it. And God, you know what? He likes to get the glory. God likes to be the one that everybody looks to and says, wow, it was God that saved us. It wasn't a man that saved us. That's why it's like, oh, we just opened the Red Sea, so it's clear. It wasn't a man that saved us. It was God that walked us through the Red Sea. And that's why I just don't personally believe Donald Trump can save us. Because the glory of God has to go to God. Now, again, can God use sinful men and can God use other people to accomplish his goals? Sure. You know, would it be great if Donald Trump got saved? Absolutely. I would love to hear him read Romans 1, you know? They profess they know God. They became fools, you know. It's just, they're reprobate. You know, that would be great, okay? I'm for that. But, you know, it's probably not very likely when you're hanging out with Paula White. It's probably not very likely when you're hanging out with a bunch of Jews. Since they hate Jesus Christ, okay? And you're fooling yourself if you don't think that he's influenced by a lot of really, really evil people. Go to Psalm 147. Go to Psalm 147. You know what makes me feel safe at night is Jesus Christ. Now, like the horse prepared against the day of battle, I'm not saying that I don't have security and alarms and cameras and guns and then more guns and knives and all kinds of stuff. I'm ready. But you know what? I'm not feeling that confident in that stuff, I'm feeling really confident in God. And God delivering me, and God protecting me, and God sustaining me. And you know why I have that confidence? Because of the New Testament church. The New Testament church. Hey, I'm plugged into church. I'm serving my local church. I don't think that God wants to just start taking people out that are plugged into the New Testament local church. I think that they're protected under his wing. I think the people that forsake the church and don't want to be with God, they're at more risk than those that are under his wings. And ultimately, we have to realize that God is not interested in saving man through man. He's interested in saving them through miracles and through him. That's why you read in the Bible, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And you see men of God having faith in the Lord to preserve them, not in some man to rescue them. It was always miracles. Look, and we like to think of like the men of God as still being tough and rough warriors, but it's like David can't beat Goliath on his own. It was the Lord that gave him the victory. Because he even accredited, hey, I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear, but it was the Lord that delivered them into my hand. He wasn't saying like, I'm just so awesome and look how strong I really am. It's the Lord gave him the victory. And we see throughout the Bible, the mighty men of God that won the battles and the victories, he would often say like, they're better than you and stronger and faster. It was just that I fought for you. It's just that I brought the hornet. It's just that I came, you know, in the tops of the mulberry trees. It's just that I, you know, basically confused them. It's always the Lord that was giving them the battle and the victory because he didn't want them to think they won. He wanted to whittle down Gideon's army to 300 so they wouldn't think that they won by their might, but that God performed a miracle for them. And why would I think in 2024 America that God would want to rescue me by man or by prideful men? God wants to rescue me by a miracle. God wants to save me through his grace and through his power and through his might and for him to get all the glory. Just like our protesters and all this other junk we've gone through in the past, there was nothing we did to rescue ourselves. It was simply God's favor and God's hand blessing us and protecting us, and he gets the honor and he gets the glory. It's not by our might. It's not by our strength. It's not by our wisdom. It's by God's mercy and favor that we're here today. And I believe it's going to continue that way. Psalm 147, look at verse 10. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and those that hope in his mercy. God likes men that trust him, not in themselves, not in their legs, not in horses, not in tanks, not in fighter jets, not in nuclear warheads, but rather in his mercy. That's what God takes pleasure in. Go to Titus chapter 1, Titus chapter 1. Our hope is in the New Testament church. And I just have two simple points that are based on that. Is if we're going to have New Testament church, what is the thing that's really important for those churches? It's to have a pastor. It's to have a bishop. And when a church doesn't have a local pastor that's plugged in, you could argue that they're wanting, that they're lacking, that they could improve in that area. And the Apostle Paul had started a lot of churches that didn't have a local pastor. And so that's why it's specifically brought up in Titus chapter 1. Look what it says in verse number 4. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. So notice that some churches are in, quote, wanting, meaning that they're lacking, meaning that they have a need. They have something that they could use. And having a local ordained elder or bishop is a great blessing unto a church. And so he's putting Titus there to ordain bishops and elders. Now, Steadfast Baptist Church specifically has started churches and had churches under its authority and leadership that did not have a local bishop. Pure Words Baptist Church was started with a local bishop, but, you know, I ended up transitioning and coming up here because this, you know, situation was more in need, had a bigger wanting, had a bigger lacking at the time. And so we kind of put Pure Words Church growth and everything on hold to help Steadfast Baptist Church be able to steady the ship and to rectify things. And Steadfast was an important ship because it was having churches in Jacksonville, Florida. It was having churches in Oklahoma. And I remember preaching a sermon that my goal and vision was that in 5 years of being the pastor of Steadfast Baptist Church, that at least one of our churches would be completely gone in the sense that it would have its own local bishop and be separate from the body. If you look at Steadfast Baptist Church today, that is true. Right now you have, I believe it's Abiding Word. Is that the name? Abiding Word with Pastor Theo Matthews, who was the person that I initially appointed as a leader of that church. And it's a church in Jacksonville. I would recommend you can go to. They're still preaching the gospel. It's still happening. And that church wouldn't exist if Steadfast Baptist Church hadn't gone and planted that church. Now, of course, you know, it doesn't mean that every person involved was always the right person or had the best intentions, But many people that did have the right intentions got that church to where it is, financially supported that church, prayed for that church, visited that church, participated in that church, and you know what? That church is still going. Not only that, Pure Words Baptist Church is another church that a lot of people invested time, effort, and energy into. And God willing, on September 1st, we're going to ordain Brother Salvador Alvarez and has become the pastor of that church. And you know what gives me hope for America? Salvador Alvarez. Evangelist Salvador Alvarez is such an awesome guy who loves the Lord. He has a great wife. He has great children. And boy, man, he just has a bright future ahead of him. He has so much potential. He has such a great heart. He really loves to serve. He really loves God. He really loves the Lord. And you know what gives me hope for America? Is people like Brother Salvador Alvarez and Pure Words Baptist Church. And you know, a lot of people have stuck with that church through a lot of difficulty, a lot of stress, turmoil, all kinds of things. There's so many people in this room that have been to Pure Words, helped Pure Words, given money to Pure Words, and prayed for Pure Words, and gone soul winning with Pure Words Baptist Church. And you know what gives me hope for America? Is Pure Words Baptist Church, which is arguably one of the most persecuted churches in America right now, still being protested every Sunday morning by one of the most evil groups I've ever seen. They're like a super pro-communist Marxist group trying to just intimidate them. They all wear an assault rifle or an AR. I know people wonder what's an assault rifle, but just they wear an AR. They have all kinds of weaponry on them, bulletproof vests, and they're trying to intimidate them, screaming on loudspeakers. Last time I was there, they played like Lady Gaga the whole time I was preaching or whatever. Just disgusting, evil human beings. Really, they're just dogs, if you ask me. But you know what that tells me? Pure Words Baptist Church is an important church. And God keeps sustaining them. And, you know, having protests, I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to give our enemies ammunition, but it causes problems. It causes serious problems, and there's been serious threats. But you know what? The gates of hell didn't prevail against Pure Words Baptist Church. And they're still not prevailing against it, and they won't prevail against it. And you know what gives me hope for Pure Words Baptist Church is Brother Salvador Alvarez. And I'll tell you, when I left there, and I was early in the stages of Steadfast, I was just like, I have no idea how this is going to work. I have no idea who's going to ever leave this church. There was no like obvious, like, this guy's going to probably take it, and this is going to work. Brother Salvador Alvarez wasn't even going to any of our churches at the time. He was a foreign import, okay? And he went to Oklahoma City, and honestly, I thought he was too good to be true. I was just like, I don't know, what's this guy's problem like? Why does a great guy just all of a sudden just show up in Oklahoma City, some, you know, guy from the Caribbean or whatever, like from South America or whatever. It's like, why are you here? But he isn't too good to be true. He's just good. And you know what? Praise God for him that he just came out of nowhere. All I was doing was just praying for it. Hey, God, give us somebody. And it's like, God did have to send me someone out of nowhere because I was like, I'm looking at what we have and we need something. And you know what gave me hope for America is people like Salvador that I didn't even know existed, they just show up. And you know what? Isn't that a little bit the same as Elijah where he kind of just doesn't see it, but it's like, no. I have people you don't know about. There are people out there that have a heart towards the things of God that you just don't even know about yet. Hey, there's Elijahs out there that you haven't ordained yet, but Elijah's going to be a great man of God, and you just don't even know about it yet. Why don't you get to work, buddy? Why don't you, Elijah, get a better attitude? Why don't you get out there and find somebody, do the work of the Lord, and invest in them? And you know what? We as God's people should invest into the next generation and invest into the youth and invest in these children so that we can have new leaders to start new churches. You know, praise God for people like Brother Dylan Oz, who I called him a long time ago, and I just kind of asked him, like, hey, what's your plans for the future? And he said, I don't know. I said, would you maybe want to become a pastor someday? Because I saw the potential there. He said, you know, Lord willing, maybe. Would you like to work in a church or help a church? He was like, yes, I would like to do that. And you know what? Praise God that he was able to come here and be a blessing unto us and to work for us. And he's a very loyal, faithful man of God that truly loves the Lord, that has a sincere and great heart, and he's a great preacher on top of that. And you know what? You know what gives me hope for America? Brother Dylan Oz. You know what gives me hope for Oklahoma City? Brother Dylan Oz. And Steadfast OKC, which is a special church. Steadfast OKC is one of the most tight-knit churches I've ever seen with a lot of people that just really want the church to succeed and invested a lot into that church. I mean, I would say that Steadfast OKC was by far my most neglected church. You know why? Because they were just filled with so many great people. So it was like you didn't even have, it was like that kid that you never really have to discipline much because they're just always helpful and always doing good and just kind of taking care of themselves. So you kind of feel like, man, I don't even give you that much attention. Whereas Jacksonville is that kid that had to get spanked often, okay? You know, they were the stubborn, rebellious child that needed a lot of attention, okay? And they were really far away on top of that, you know? I was like, man. Whereas, you know, Pure Words was good, and it was a great church, but, like, Oklahoma is just exceptional, great people, and they need a great pastor. They need a man of God that can come in there and do a big work for the Lord. And, you know, I have a lot of confidence in Brother Dylan Oz to thrive in the next few months, and God willing, be ready to be ordained and to take on that church. And you know what gives me hope for America? Two new fundamental Baptist churches with two new young men that are on fire for God, that have been preparing themselves, and they're dedicated to the things of God. And look, while Brother Salvador Alvarez came out of nowhere at the time that he moved there, he didn't come out of nowhere to become a pastor. He's been dedicated to that church for a while. He's been studying and preparing himself. Brother Oz didn't just come out of a vacuum, folks. He's been dedicated to our church, preparing, planning. We've been investing in him, loving in him, and trying to do him good to prepare him to be greatly used of God. And you know what gives me hope for America? There's still men that are willing to be used by God. And we don't need to stop there. Now, look, I don't know, you know, I don't necessarily have anybody really chomping on the bit beyond these two men, but there are some people in this room that have a lot of potential. You know, in our men's preaching, sometimes we have at our men's conference and our preaching class and other things, I see some people get up and preach, and I'm just like, this person has a lot of potential. And I really hope that they just really stick with it and make good decisions in their lives, because I think they could be greatly used for God if they would just stick with it. And you know what? Those people give me hope for America. You know, one of those is Brother Diego, because, boy, he always preaches great sermons. And I'm praying for him to get a great wife, okay? Because I think he has a lot of potential to be used by God. And it's not just him. There's other people in here that I feel the same way about. But I just feel like there's so many people that give me hope for America, and he's one of them. You know, Brother Diego's a person that I met a long time ago through Pure Words Baptist Church when he was a very young man. And he was career-oriented as a teenager. And I remember talking to him about software and work, and he was asking my advice because I have experience in that area. And, you know, I gave him some general advice, and whether he took my advice or not, he did what I said in a lot of ways. And, you know, he's been very successful in the workforce. He's successful as a person. And he's just really impressive how a young man that just, like, dedicates himself to something, he also separates himself. A man having a desire, you know, separates himself. And you know what? I see that in him, and I hope that he continues, and I hope that other people follow in like footsteps and get serious about the things of God, because you know what gives me hope for America? Diego. You know what doesn't give me hope for America? Donald Trump. Amen. And, you know, people might think like, well, who are we going to look to, and who's going to save America? People like Diego, people like Dylan Oz, people like Brother Salvador Alvarez. Those are the people that are going to fix America. Those are the people that we should be voting for. Those are the people that we should be campaigning for. Those are the people that we should be rallying around and encouraging. And you know what gives me hope for America is new, steadfast leaders. That gives me hope. You know what gives me hope is men like Dylan Oz, who preach why we won't shut up, and then he hasn't stopped shutting up since then. Even when they come to his house, he won't shut up. Hey, he's a man of God that's going to stand on the word of God, and he hasn't bowed the knee to Baal, and I don't believe that he ever will. Whether he stays Steadfast Baptist Church or not, he's steadfast in his heart, and that's what I like about him. Go over with Isaiah chapter 30. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. That's what gives me hope for America, is the New Testament church. And you know what we need? Pastors. We need pastors in this country, and we need more of them. You would not even believe me how many people ask me to start a church somewhere. I'm not even done yet, and I get all these, hey, when you're done with that church, start a church here, and start a church here, and start a church there, and blah, 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 and it's just like, okay, but you know what I need? Steadfast leaders, okay? It's not like there is an opportunity to start churches. There's just, you know, there's not infinite number of pastors. There's not an infinite number of men that are willing to serve God. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one of his neighbor. You know, a lot of people will even say, like, hey, I have a desire with their mouth, but their actions don't really follow in that footstep. And, you know, it doesn't mean that everybody has to be a pastor. We need other leaders, too. We need other people like deacons and evangelists, and we need soul-winning captains and soul-winning lieutenants, and we need song leaders, and we need men that are just going to lead their family. We need all of these leaders, but specifically, what gives me a lot of hope is men that are willing to lead the church, because the church is such an important institution, and without the church, people aren't going to really change their lives. People aren't going to really go soul-winning the same way. People aren't going to really dedicate themselves to the things of God. People aren't going to dress right. People aren't going to act right. People aren't going to get sin out of their life. People aren't going to be focused on the things of God. People are going to be trusting in man. We need church, and we need more church, and we need more New IFB-style churches, and we need more pastors that are going to be steadfast, and we need more pastors that are going to preach against all the perverts and the freaks and the weirdos. And when we look at America, I feel like Isaiah 30 is just like talking to us, even though it's talking to Israel. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. So many Christians today, they're looking to someone to lead them, to guide them, to cover them, to help them, and they're just looking in all the wrong places. They're looking at all the counselors. They're looking at Republicans. They're looking at elected officials. They're looking at teachers and colleges and whatever. Or they're looking at these non-evangelical pastors. But you know what? They're not looking to the Bible. They're not looking to the Word of God. They're not going to a church that God approves of. They're just looking to cover themselves and cover their sin by going to a church that'll never preach on their sin. Yeah. By using a Bible that won't even talk about their sin. Like the New Living Translation that takes out all the verses that say to be sober. That's a covering for all the drunkards out there.
Yeah.
And all the people that want to go back to the Hebrew and Greek to just be a covering for all the sin and the evil and the wickedness that they do so they can just pervert what the Bible actually says. But you know, those of us that actually love the Bible, we should let this be our covering. We should let truth and the light be our covering and not go out and try to find a man-made cover. Not try to listen to Donald Trump who said adultery is not a sin. Boy, what a wicked statement that is.
Yeah.
I wonder why he has that opinion. Maybe it's because he's committed adultery.
Yes.
Says in verse 2, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked of my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Who are they trusting in? A man, Egypt, Pharaoh. And look, if you think, well, I would never trust in Egypt, there's not much difference between most of our elected officials in Egypt today, folks. Yeah. And Pharaoh and all of these different people. That's not who we're supposed to be looking to and trusting in. We're supposed to be trusting in the Lord. Now, it says in verse 7, for the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength that is sit still. If you want to fix America, I think so many people think, as long as we get Donald Trump and Republicans back into power, then we will have help. But I believe that this verse is literally what would happen. For the Republicans shall help in vain and to no purpose. The Republican Party, whether you like it or not, is only interested in helping Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Israel is a nation of reprobates.
Yeah.
Israel is the synagogue of Satan.
Yeah, right.
The Republicans are not interested in helping America. They don't believe in the Constitution. They're all bought and paid for. And whatever help you think they're going to give would be in vain. It would not actually help our country. Oh, well, we're going to increase the military or do whatever. It's like whatever they say, it's all lies and it doesn't help. Why does America keep getting worse? Don't we alternate? It's like Democrat president, Republican president, Democrat president, Republican president. But we're always consistently just getting worse, though. Like, it's not getting better. It's like inflation gets worse. Our laws get worse. The sodomites get worse. Everything's just getting worse and worse and worse. But I'm supposed to, if the Republicans were such a help, wouldn't you think it'd be kind of going like worse, better? It'd be kind of like this. But it's just pretty much just like, and some people would say, like, yeah, but you got to realize like, when Obama came in, it was like this. And then when Trump, it kind of went like this. Yeah, but then you were like, COVID. and he was still in office.
Right.
If you just look at the overall picture, it got way worse, whether you like that reality or not. Well, he was deceived by Fauci. Well, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Go over to Genesis chapter 49. Go to Genesis 49. Look, these people aren't going to help. Stop putting your trust in man. Our only trust and our only hope should be in God. And ultimately, this is what the Bible teaches, is that we're supposed to wait on the Lord. I had you go to Genesis chapter 49. I want you to look at verse number 18. And I'm just going to kind of do a rapid fire here for a moment. So once you're done with this, we're going to move into the book of Psalms, and I want to look at a lot of Psalms. But look at Genesis 49, verse 18. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Okay? Go over to Genesis 27 now. Go to Genesis chapter 27. What does it mean to wait on the Lord for salvation? Now, salvation can be in a couple contexts. One is obviously going to heaven. The second, really, though, is just a physical salvation, a physical delivery. And when it comes to our spiritual salvation, in a sense, we're also still waiting on the Lord because it hasn't happened yet. But ultimately, what the Bible is really meaning in a lot of these verses, when we talk about waiting on the Lord, is it's saying, don't try to rescue yourself or look to some way that you can fix the problem. Simply just do what God says and wait for God to fix the problem. So, you know, we sit here and we think like, I better vote in November if I want to fix America. I guarantee like 90% of Christians think, I have to vote to fix America. But they're not necessarily going to go to church Sunday night. They're not going to go to church Wednesday night. Whereas what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and I'm just going to wait for God to fix the problem. And you know what I'm trusting in? Church to fix the problem. I'm trusting in Sunday night to fix the problem. I'm trusting in Wednesday night to fix the problem. I'm trusting in Sunday morning to fix the problem. I'm trusting in our soul winning time to fix the problem. I'm trusting in the Bahamas to fix our problem. I'm trusting in God's commandments to fix the problem. I'm trusting in, you know, raising my godly family to fix the problem. I'm waiting on God. Hey, I'm going to do my part. I'm not doing nothing. Don't get confused with this. It doesn't say do nothing. It says that you do what God said and you wait for God to fix it. I'm not going to go outside the Bible and try to fix it. I'm just going to wait on God and do what God said, and I'm going to allow God to fix it. Psalm 27, verse 14 says this. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why is he saying wait? Because so many people get hasty and they want to fix the problem themselves through an unbiblical means rather than just waiting on God to fix things through the scripture. They want a quick fix, like as long as I get this elected official in, it'll be a quick fix to America. But the reality is we can't get a quick fix at this point. Your turkey is frozen. You can't pop it in the microwave. You're going to have to let that thing defrost for a while. And then you're going to have to slow cook it, and then you'll enjoy it. If you take frozen turkey and pop in the microwave for 10 minutes, you're not going to want to eat that thing. Okay, in America, we're kind of a frozen turkey in a sense. We need a lot of defrosting. It's like Jews are the synagogue of Satan, okay? You know, get rid of Zionism, right? Hey, all of these false prophets need to be exposed. You know, Robert Morris getting exposed, great. That was a little bit of defrosting that we got, okay? We just need more and more defrosting. The King James Bible is the only word of God here. We need to get burn the NIV, defrosting. Burn the NLT, more defrosting, right? America just constantly needs more and more defrosting. Women getting back in the home and having babies, more defrosting, okay? But you can't just fix America by popping in a microwave. It won't work. What do we have to do? We have to wait on God to fix America. But you know what? I have a lot of hope for America because we keep planting New Testament church. You know what's going to defrost America? Pure Words Baptist Church and Brother Salvador Oz and Brother Dylan Oz and all their preaching and all the works that they're going to do. Is they're going to constantly, slowly, you know, defrost the turkey so then we can start cooking it and actually enjoy it later. What does it say in verse 30, sorry, chapter 37, just flip to the right, just a hair, 37, verse 7, says in verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. I mean, you could be like, but I'm nervous. What about all the communism? What about all the evil in our country? What about all the... But here's the thing, I can't really affect that. And look, if you want to vote for Trump, I guarantee you believe the elections are rigged. So why do you even think that voting matters? Like, I can't personally affect who's going to be elected. I don't believe it. I don't believe that I can't affect all the people that are going to be in Congress and in the government and the people that are behind them and all the shadows and all the stuff. But you know what I do believe? I believe I can affect you guys, and I can affect this neighborhood, and I can affect this area, and I can preach the word of God, and I can affect my children, and I want to invest all my effort and energy into that. And you know what I think I can do? I can find people like Brother Dylan Oz and invest a bunch of time into him. Yeah. And people like Salvador Alvarez and invest a bunch of time in him. And that's going to give me hope for America. Is new. And I'm just going to rest in the Lord, and I'm going to wait for God to fix things by doing it God's way. Think about this. I mean, all the leftists and all the Democrats, they took all the shots. They're killing all their babies through abortion. Pretty soon, they're going to all be gone. Their cats are going to eat their eyes out, okay? When they die, that's what happens. You know, sorry. I mean, you know, they're not reproducing. You know who's reproducing? Steadfast Baptist Church. I mean, there was a point where we had like 20 names on the list at one time, or close to. That's who's going to repopulate the earth. That's the hope for America. We're waiting on him. Look at verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Hey, these evil people, they're going to be cut off by AIDS and all kinds of weird stuff. And you know what? We're going to inherit this area. Go to Psalm 39 and look at verse 6. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Hey, some people are gathering riches, but you know what? I'm not trusting in that. I'm trusting in God. Look at chapter 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined me and heard my cry. Look at chapter 69 and look at verse number 6. Chapter 69 and look at verse number 6. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Notice he's wanting us to realize if we're doing what God's saying and we're trusting in him and waiting on him, he's not going to let us be ashamed. Go to Psalm 130. We need to let the Lord take care of our enemies and adversaries in his timing. I think that Elijah would say, like, can we kill Jezebel now? Like, why are we waiting? And God's like, just wait. Now, what if Elijah said, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm going to get an AR, you know, and I'm getting my slingshot. I'm going to head up there, and I'm going to take care of Jezebel myself. Wouldn't have worked. He had to wait. And you know what happened? He appointed new leaders, and they took her out. Yeah. They were like, hey, Jehu, come here. Yeah. And even Jehu was skeptical. And his buddies was like, oh, this guy is crazy. You know, don't listen to this guy. Yeah. And it's like, okay, yeah, I am crazy. Isn't that what the world would say about new IB preachers? They're crazy. They never speak the truth. But I want to listen to their sermons. You know, we'll listen to their sermons, but they're crazy. Why would anybody listen to them? But, you know, we keep appointing new people. Better watch out for Jehu. Psalm 130, look at verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. So many people are just waiting. I can't wait till the news comes out and we find out, you know, good news about the election. Trump's ahead in the polls. They're fake. Yeah. Okay? Go over to Proverbs chapter 20. You know what? I'm going to wait on the Lord and I'm going to wake up in the morning and just read the Bible and think about that. I'll read a couple passages. Lamentations chapter 3. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Micah 7, verse 7. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. That's a lot of confidence in their God. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. You know what's going to fix America? New Testament churches. New Testament churches. You say, well, when is that going to happen? Well, you're going to have to wait. You know what's going to save America? Steadfast Baptist Church. But you know what? You're going to have to wait. You know what's going to save this country? Pure Words Baptist Church. But you're going to have to wait. Go if you would to Psalm 31. Not only do we need leaders, though, we need steadfast members, too. And members that won't compromise. Members that are willing to say, you know what? I go to Steadfast Baptist Church. I go to Pure Words Baptist Church. I go to First Works Baptist Church. I go to Faith Word Baptist Church. I go to Verity Baptist Church. I go to anything Baptist Church, all right? Yeah. Whatever you want to, you know, put the first name up, I'm for it as long as it's a Baptist church. And it's a fundamental Baptist church that's King James only, that believes in soul winning. I'm for you. And we need members to go there because the church can't exist without all the body parts. We need all the body parts. And we need men that are going to step up and help the church. You know, you may not ever be a pastor, and that's fine. That doesn't even exist. You can't have a church of 500 pastors, right? You know what we need? We need men that are going to marry women, and women have children, and we need all the demographics. We need the children and the men and the women and the old elderly and everybody. And then we have one person get up and lead the church as the pastor. But you know what? We need that congregation. We need that flock. We need you to go out there and preach the gospel. And we need to not compromise. And we need to realize that is the hope for America. Psalm 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints. For the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Notice, you can have hope in America because you hope in the Lord. You can have hope for your future because you know what? You're faithful and you're waiting on the Lord and you love the Lord, and we're all supposed to do that. Go if you went to Psalm 33. Psalm 71 says this, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. You know, the Bible says that we can be delivered out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. That describes so many leaders in our world today. But we can be delivered out of it when our hope is in God. And you say, what does my hope in God look like? It looks like going to church on Sunday morning. It looks like reading your Bible on a daily basis. It looks like following God's commandments. It looks like going to church Sunday night. It looks like going to church on Wednesday night. It looks like going soul winning at least once a week. It's, you know what, trusting in God and hoping in God and doing what he says as the cure for you, your family, and your nation. Psalm 33, look at verse 16. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Maybe just circle, highlight, read this word again. Any. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. You know what that just said? Man will never save you. The horse will never save you. It is only the Lord. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Let Christians hope in Jesus Christ again. Let Christians hope in the Bible again. Let Christians hope in Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You know, in this country, businesses used to be shut down all over the country on Sunday morning and shut down on Wednesday night because America hoped in God, because America went to church, because America cared about the name of Jesus Christ. But today, we let a bunch of blaspheming, God-hating Jews bring reproach on the name of Jesus Christ in our country and our nation. And we're not hoping in Jesus Christ. We're hoping in oppression, and we're hoping in the puppets that are in the hands of Jews today rather than the Lord Jesus Christ and the New Testament church. Right. You know what? We need men today to say, I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to worship Jesus Christ, and I'm going to hope in his mercy. Amen. You know what gives me hope for America today is men who are willing to give up sin. And I know that there's many men in this room that have made changes in their life and tried to become a better person for the cause of Christ. You know what? That gives me hope for America. It gives me hope for America that women are putting dresses on again. Praise God. We need more women to put more dresses on again. We need to make it where retailers are like, I don't even want to make dresses, but there's so many women buying them, so I'm going to make them. You know what gives me hope for America again? Women cooking again. These fast food restaurants suck. And you know what would happen if just half of the women in America started cooking again? All the crappy fast food restaurants would go out of business. And look, I'm not against all fast food. I'm not against restaurants. Let's let the good ones survive. But you know what? There's so many that I'm thinking, like, how does this restaurant even exist? I mean, how does Jack in the Box exist? I'm just being honest with you. Okay? How does Domino's Pizza exist? I mean, there's just some bad restaurants out there. And I'm just thinking, like, how is anybody even going there or buying your junk? You know, there's some good options out there. And maybe if we had some other competition for In-N-Out, they would fix their fries. But, you know, because In-N-Out, you know, just has good burgers and most fast food restaurants don't, you know, they just dominate. I like In-N-Out's burgers. They're great. But their fries are just trash. Okay? It's just reality. If you don't like reality, then, you know, you need to read the Bible more, okay? You know what gives me hope for America? Women having babies again. Because, you know, I always wondered this, like, who are my kids going to marry? I want someone for my kids. And, you know, I don't want them to pick between two options, right? It'd be nice for them to have a large gene pool to pick from. And, you know, our church, I think it's like around, of like active members, because I keep numbers very close to up to date. Active members, we have around like 265, 275 people that are active in our church. Only like 115, 120 of them are adults, and like 150 of them are children. Praise God. That gives me hope for America. And hopefully after they've heard me preach for 10, 20 years, they'll like me. Okay, I don't know. You know, the Bible says, I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Most of America has turned aside after Satan. And what gives me hope is the women that are marrying, the women that are bearing children, the women that are guiding the house, and the women that are giving none occasion to the adversary. And you know, there's a lot of women in this church that are very meek, very quiet, very humble ladies. And you know, I don't have a relationship with you. First of all, you're quiet. Second of all, I only like my wife. But you know what? I greatly appreciate you. And you personally give me hope for America. The women in here that are just so meek and so quiet and they're just loving their husband and doing the right thing, you just give me so much hope for America. Because y'all have it harder than men, in my opinion, because our culture is so anti-women serving God. And it's very difficult to humble yourself and make those right decisions that you ladies, you give me the hope for America. And you're homeschooling your children, that gives me hope for America. You know what gives me hope for America? All the young, innocent children in this room. When I start to think about my kids, and I think about what I knew at their age, I'm just like, man, I'm so glad that my kids are not like me. I'm so glad that my kids are protected from a lot of the things I knew at their age. And they're so innocent. And that gives me hope for America, that we can start with a crop that didn't have to make so many major changes in their lives. You know what gives me hope for America? Conferences like the Heritage of the Lord. You know what gives me hope for America? Children who love the Lord. There's children in here that want to go soul winning and love reading their Bible and love doing things for God. You know what gives me hope for America? How many children want to play instruments up here? You know, the average age of the person on our stage is low. I don't know if you've been noticing. We have a lot of young people up here playing music, and it's beautiful already. That gives me a lot of hope. It gives me a lot of hope for a music program in the future. When I had some low points, it was like me and maybe Jared. And it was like, oh, man, you know. Which Jared was great. Don't hear me wrong. But it was just like, it'd be nice to have some other stuff going on up here, you know. Children who memorize the Bible gives me hope for America. Just think about how much, like if you did every verse every week from 5 all the way to 18, just think about how much Bible those kids have memorized in their life. That gives me a lot of hope for America. You know what gives me hope for America? Our men's conference. And when men are singing loud at our men's conference. You know, the singing at the men's conference is special. And that gives me hope for America. You know, the Bible says, let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. It says, let us sing unto the Lord. The Bible says, speak in yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Bible says that we're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. You know, I love when we sing Psalm 146, where it says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. I love that we sing that. I love that we have that put to music and that we can sing that, and men are singing that today. We should put our hope and our trust in the Lord. You know what gives me hope for America is the people who are giving money to church. You know what gives me hope for America is the people that helped us to buy a church building. Some people donated large sums of money so that we could get this building. That gives me hope for America, that people are still willing to invest in the church, even in economic downtimes, even when it's a great sacrifice. It gives me hope when I see people wanting to help missionaries like Brother Urbanic in the Philippines. You know what gives me hope for the Philippines? Duncan Urbanic. And Brother Matthew Stuckey. Boy, that guy's a big hope. That guy works hard. That guy, I mean, I never thought, I'm like thinking like, who starts churches other than America? It's like Brother Stuckey. Brother Stuckey is starting churches in Poland. It's pretty funny when the Philippines have to help Europe. Right? We just act like white people are going to help everybody else. But it's like the Philippines, now he is white technically, but I'm just saying like the Philippines is starting churches in Poland. You know what? And America doesn't have to be the only person carrying the whole world on his back. Praise God for other nations or other countries that are willing to also send missionaries and plant churches and do things for God. You know what? The hope for many people in this world today is America. And it's American Baptist churches. And it's churches like Steadfast Baptist Church. You know, places like Jamaica and the Bahamas and Mexico and Fiji and all these other places in the world. You know what their hope is? Steadfast Baptist Church and people sitting in these chairs right now. And you know what? Little is much when God is in it. Think about how many missionaries. I mean, I've gone to so many Baptist churches today where they have 150 missionaries that they're supporting. And I would be surprised if they had 150 salvations for the year from those people. Whereas you send Duncan Urbanic, and he's getting 150 salvations in like 2 weeks in the Philippines. You know what? That gives me hope for America, that we have better missionaries. Men that pay to go and preach the gospel. I mean, there's so many people who have sacrificed their money to go drive to a small town, go on a missions trip. I mean, there's so many people. You know, people like Brother Marcel has such a zeal for soul winning and goes all over the world to preach the gospel that it inspires me and it gives me hope for America. That there's people that are just a church member and they just want to get people saved so bad. And him and his brother are dragging all kinds of people into our church. Like, they're like single-handedly bringing in more people by themselves than like anybody else. You know, that gives me hope for America. And they're not even white. Look at that. You know, they say like, oh, our church is racist, but these guys like our church. What now? You know what gives me hope for America is the men that want to preach the Bible. I want to go to Hebrews 6 and we'll finish. You know, the Bible says that there's things that accompany salvation. That's the context of Hebrews chapter number 6. I'm not going to preach all of it. But the Bible says in verse number 10, I'm going to start reading. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. And they have ministered to the saints and to minister. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Notice there's promises. Of course, when you get saved, you get the promise of eternal life. You get that hope of eternal life and you're saved. But there's other promises. There's rewards in heaven. And there's other things to accomplish in this life. And we shouldn't be slothful, but we should be focused and dedicated. We should be the 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And you know what? That's going to give hope for America and hope for this world. And you know, the hope is obviously coming from the Bible. It says in verse 13, "For in God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." You know what our anchor is? It's this. Amen. This is our anchor that causes us to be steadfast. And when we're steadfast, that gives hope to the world. And when we have pastors that are steadfast, that gives us hope for the world. And we need this to be our anchor today. Yep. You know, anchor sounds like a good name for a church. Yep. How about Anchor Baptist Church? Amen. God willing, Brother Dylan starts, becomes a pastor and takes over in Oklahoma. That's the name of his church. And you know what gives me hope for America? Anchor Baptist Church. That gives me hope for America. You know what gives me hope for America? Pure Words Baptist Church. Because the Word of God is what's pure. That's what purifies men's souls, hearts, minds, bodies, families, their state, their country, yea, the world. You know what gives me hope for America? Steadfast Baptist Church. When I say that, I'm not talking about a building. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about you. You give me hope for America. My hope in America is not in who will be the next president. My hope in America is in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the New Testament church. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for giving us the church and giving us this great group of people in here. I pray that we would be motivated to invest in the New Testament church, that we'd be willing to invest in new pastors and new members, that we would go out there and preach the gospel to a dying and lost world. I pray that we wouldn't be tempted to put all of our trust into man, looking to who's going to lead us in this nation carnally, but rather looking to the church, looking to Jesus Christ, who is the one to lead us, looking to the Word of God, patiently waiting in the Lord, putting all of our hope in Him, none of our hope in man, none of our hope in our government, none of our hope in elections, none of our hope in the things of this world, no hope in our money, no hope in our currency. Our hope is in the King James Bible, and our hope is in God, and our hope is in what He can do for us. And I pray that you would just rescue our nation and deliver our nation through the New Testament church so that you could get the honor and so that you could get the glory. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, for our last song, we're going to do song number 419, Sound the Battle Cry. 419, Sound the Battle Cry. singing, everybody. You are all dismissed.